Give me 2 eggs. So tomorrow I got nothing.
Do you believe that everybody should be born poor? 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own room.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, give it up for Devin, whom I met at the Remembering Desmond event on the plaza this past Sunday.
Well, every day when I come down, people have a little different something to say. And I believe in America, everybody has opinion and a voice, and they have freedom of speech. And we do it every day. That's what our forefathers and people, so we can look at God in the face and believe that we are a part of God.
What's on your heart right now, Devin?
Loving God and the people and thinking God can be with all of us.
How's things going for your housing? You said you might have been able to get a house to be able to help.
Go good. I think it's going to go good. I'm going up. They offered me a place. I just stayed and I had meals and food. But I kept thinking my friend. I'm going to go up and help him. He's up in the mountains up here and he hasn't died, but he needs my help. He's there right now. He has cancer. So I want to go there.
How long have you known him, Devin?
30 years.
How long you been out on the streets, man?
Well, this time, only 4 or 5 months. I had a room in Spokane. I ran one there. And then I was here before for 2 years out on the streets. I wanted to see, I could have rented, got a place, but I wanted to see what it was like to be homeless.
What's it like?
Sometimes it's all right. You meet some good people. I hear sometimes late at night and walking around in the daytime. And I liked it at Christmas time because I had a little money. I could go check on people who were homeless and ask them, oh, have a cup of coffee, you have money. And then we went to DC and got good mail, and then I got interviewed.
Devin, you're awesome. So if you had one wish, man, what would it be?
People would quit having wars with each other.
Amen. That's small wars, big wars, medium wars, right? Yeah, yelling and screaming, that don't work, huh?
When people yell at me, I don't hear what they're saying. I get up and walk up. It makes me feel uncomfortable.
This one's for you, Karina. That's my daughter. She's the same way. You don't have to yell at my daughter. It makes you upset.
I don't like to yell. And I see other people yelling on the street, and they're speaking their piece, and a lot of times they're saying what I do because they remembered what I thought and how we thought. I thought we should live. And then I let all the other people decide how we should live, too. I wanted to live healthy and productive lives and have education and fair opportunity, get jobs, get to live. I want to take care of the old, the hungry, and people that have hurt themselves. Or got hurt in some way, and I want them to help us with food.
What do you think of my favorite Gandhi quote? Poverty is the worst form of violence.
Yeah, well, when some people get out there with no food and no nothing, they don't make them feel very good. I think they feel like they're not getting part of God's promise to have food and have clothing and have housing and have medical. And I think some people get a little angry when society says they didn't do the paperwork and they cannot receive medical attention or food, or water, or a place to stay, or a place to sit down on the public street, or...
All right, man. Bless you, Devin. You're awesome, man.
All right, Game of Man here for the September 20th Without a Roof Radio program. Huge shout-out to Devin, man. Wonderful, wonderful gentleman. We'll do some follow-ups with him, man. Follow his story. I got a program today of programs. We're going to hear, coming up next, a wonderful short little doc that was put together by Mariana Souza, who is an independent journalist, motivational speaker, and an activist out of Sacramento. And she did this little piece around a program that Kimberly Church, a communications professor at Sac City College, has helped put together that assists unhomed, unhoused youths to give them space and warmth and guidance. And from there, we actually have a wonderful interview with Mariana Souza, learning a little bit more about her and the work she does in Sacramento. And we end the show with my friend, Isaiah, formerly known as Adam, with some ideas he has around some independent journalism work he wants to do around the space of folks without a roof. Enjoy.
I am Kim Church, founder and executive director of Engage Incorporated, which is an acronym that stands for Engaging Neighbors to Generate Action via Grassroots Efforts. It's a 100% volunteer effort, including myself and, at this point, about 350 of my friends and neighbors have become involved in doing something about what's otherwise in traction in this town with regard to homelessness and affordable housing and providing humanitarian relief to people who are trying to exist outside on the streets. You know, it was 2013 and 2014 that Sacramento County and Sacramento City decided to gut their affordable housing ordinances. Well, it's no surprise 4 years later that we're 66,000 units short of affordable housing. And we're blaming the people who don't have homes instead of questioning the people who allowed developers to overdevelop the city and not provide for the one out of three families in this town that live in poverty. 5 years ago, it was one out of six, which means we've doubled the families living in poverty. So I started to meet young folks at Wind Youth Services and then started to do some outreach on the streets, at the riverbanks, in the alleys.
Have any of them contacted you back about anything, ever? Not one phone call from any shelter in a year?
During that process, found that a lot of the corporate media in town just seemed to be not very interested in what was going on at the street level. There were a couple people who attend church here I became connected to, and they reached out to me and said, what you're doing is part of what our church mission is all about, and we think we could be doing more, but we really didn't know how to get involved, and so we just wanted to see if you would like to use our facility. So some of the original youth that I met, and my friend Victor and I met with some folks here, and we came up with the idea for a safe space for youth. We haven't missed a Tuesday since we started.
Outreach minister and assistant with services. Some people refer to me as a janitor. I'm a guy with a key who can help people get what they need, and I help communicate between safe space and the church. You know, I was doing a cool space. This lady walks in, I need clothes. Well, clothes that we haven't been able to find anybody for because they were tiny, they just found somebody. So some of those clothes went. You know, it's like, can I get some of this? Can I get some of that? Somebody comes in, can I get some toothpaste? Well, it's there. And it's all because, you know, there's this engagement going on here.
It's just a safe place, because a lot of times what they told me is that the older folks just kind of come in, take over, and then there's not a space where they can exist in their own youngness. When we use the word unhomed youth, we're referring to essentially people who might be under 18, but also the young adults out there, the 18 to 24 year olds, technically considered transitional age youth. If you look around to even 18 to 24 year old youth who are home, they're in need of the same information, they're in need of the same exposure to what it means to be an adult. There's not a lot of experience and exposure there, sleeping in the hallways at the Sacramento Children Receiving Home that was closed down last week. So some of the kids chose to be homeless over going back into the foster care system.
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, foster children, parents that, you know, throw them out because they're gay or because they don't want to listen to them or because they're not behaving the way they expect them to behave. So it's, you know, it's like, it's strange that we discard them that easily.
It's not like we were poor or anything. My parents had a pretty wealthy. They were just really abusive, so I left.
So when I hear a teenager telling me, like, oh, my mom kicked me out of the house because her boyfriend doesn't like me, you know, I'm like, really? They don't know how to do anything. They don't know how to look for a job. They don't know how to fill applications. They don't know how to make phone calls.
What they're missing is the safety net. What they're missing is that people make mistakes, and a lot of times we have a community that helps to correct for those mistakes.
I believe it's a righteous thing to help other people. God's will, God's work. I find helping people soothes my soul. Shop, cook, anything I can do to help out.
I think it's really hard to work on all of those things when you also don't know where you're going to sleep tonight. And in the instance of a few people who are in the other room right now, last night several of them were woken up at 1 o'clock in the morning to be moved. And so let's say they had a job to get to at 8 in the morning. And let's say the night before your first day of work, you get raised and roused at 1 o'clock in the morning and you have to go relocate your tent or your tarp or your sleeping bag. Pretty hard to show up at 8 in the morning for your job. I don't think we can expect people to be more productive and more efficient and more responsible until we have roofs over their head. Between 2000 and 2013 and 2015, there was a 485% increase in unattended youth on the streets. And so we are at a crisis in our town. And I think that a lot of times people lump everybody together. And I think that there are a lot of stereotypes and generalizations that are used. And I tend to close that down with one question, which is, how many homeless people can you name? How many homeless people do you know? How many homeless people have you met?
So we just, you know, assume that they're all the same. They all out there because of the same reason. They're lazy. They really don't want to be inside.
It's not as simple as saying that everybody who's on the streets, it's a choice, or everybody's a drug addict, or everybody has mental illness. In fact, that's not true. The Los Angeles County presentation to the Sacramento County Board last summer conveyed something that most of our county supervisors didn't believe, and that was that 30% of people on the streets have mental illness, generally, and that 30% of the people on the streets have drug addiction, generally. Across the board, what those numbers tell me is that 70% don't have drug addiction, and that 70% don't have mental illness. Now, when we're talking about specific populations, chronic homeless, veterans, people who are escaping a violent environment, those numbers are different. I'm challenging people that I know to do what they can, whatever that means. And honestly, when it comes down to it, that's all I'm doing. These are my neighbors, and that's one of the paradigm shifts that I'm finding my friends are really responding to, is that you don't have to live in a house to be a neighbor. And if somebody lives in your neighborhood and they are unhomed, they're still your neighbor.
Guillermo Mash here with the September 20th Without a Roof Radio program, and I have on the phone for a pre-record Kimberly Church, who was one of the principals in that wonderful video documentary that Mariana Souza had put together. And Kimberly is going to give us some insights on an event that's coming up this Saturday, the 23rd, called Unhomed, Voices of the Unheard.
The Unhomed, Voices of the Unheard is a forum that we're holding here on Saturday at the Latino Center of Art and Culture. And what we're doing is essentially privileging the voices of the folks who tend to be forgotten and silent. And it came as a result of us both as people living on the streets and people who are advocating for a better world for them, continuing to go to meetings where the same people had the microphones and the same people were not being heard. And so some of us came together and said, what about if we flip the script? What about if we hold a forum where those of us who live indoors sit quietly and just listen to the folks who live outdoors and try to understand the world that they live in, which may be the same zip code, but is a completely different universe when you don't have a roof over your head. And so that's where that came from. And it wasn't my idea. In fact, it was Sean Dillon's idea. He came up with this idea as a result of attending a meeting where at the meeting, it was a public meeting, and the first thing that the person who organized the meeting said was that no one was allowed to ask questions and no one was allowed to talk unless they were on the panel. For those people who did attend the meeting, they were a little taken aback by that and just thought that that's just too much more status quo, and we needed to change the conversation, and we needed to figure out a creative way to pass the mic. So far, we've got a couple of hundred people interested. We have about 30 people who have confirmed their attendance. What is also not completely surprising to me, but certainly disappointing, is that not a single elected official who has received a formal invitation has even acknowledged the invitation, has regretfully declined, or has said that they will be attending. And I think that if the elected officials choose not to acknowledge or attend this meeting, then they are missing out on an opportunity to hear from the folks who they on regularly in press releases and in press conferences and in sound bites claim to be working for and trying to help.
Guillermo Mash here for the Without a Roof Radio program with a treat for you today. I have Mariana Souza out of Sacramento. Mariana is a motivational speaker and an independent journalist who just did some wonderful work with Kimberly Church from the Engage Youth Sac Safe Space down in Sacramento. Welcome to KZFR, Mariana.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you're a journalist and a motivational speaker out of Sacramento. Why don't you give us a 90-second thumbnail on what you do and how you do it?
I am. I've been a motivational speaker and a community activist for over 25 years in the community, and it's just been a pleasure and a joy to be intrinsically involved in my community, which is Sacramento, California, but now beginning to branch abroad, learning and understanding that this work has no borders and it needs to be done everywhere. So with that, I've recently extended my education, and in the last 3 years, I pursued my communications degree, and that's pretty much led me to wonderful internships at NPR, Capital Public Radio, Sacramento TV Network, and basically I'm merging the two, taking the power of media, journalism, and using the voice to project, along with activism, to bring more community unity.
That's a beautiful thing. Speaking of community unity, why don't you talk a little bit about the production value and, you know, how you put that whole Engage thing together for Kimberly Church?
Absolutely. Kimberly Church is an amazing woman. Yeah. I met her at Sacramento City College. She's a professor there. I took one of her public speaking classes, and we joke all the time. She says I never needed it, but meeting her to me is one of those serendipitous things. She's been a part of working with me at Put Your Money Where Your Mouth Is, which is an annual event to feed the homeless and make hygiene packages for the last 5-6 years. So she's come to mind, and once I saw the body of work that she was doing in terms of working with young homeless students or unhomed students, as we prefer to say, they needed a voice, and that's what Kim was doing. She was teaching them to use their voice. So when I saw her come together with St. Paul's Church downtown on J Street in Sacramento, doing all the wonderful work with the Sac Safe Space and the unhomed youth, I just realized we're both warriors in the same mission, and I felt that it was important as an independent journalist to look into stories and uplift platforms that obviously, you know, mainstream media is not giving enough coverage to, according to what our community members say. So I just felt it was my obligation and duty to step up and step out. The documentary was wonderful to make. It was took about a day to do, and I went back and did some follow-up B-roll footage. But it was wonderful to be able to show stories from different perspectives and show what it means to get the community active on their own without having to be affiliated with any particular organization outside of having the love in your heart to care for people who need it most.
I think it's really important to keep a good working relationship with the media in your community.
Right.
I know all the folks that are involved with the print journalism, online journalism, and you're able to reach out and build a working relationship in such a way that you tend to cover the same stories. You have a professional relationship, and it seems like that works a lot better than throwing stones at them, you know, criticizing them for what they write. What would you say around that?
Right. Well, I say, standing in the space of authenticity, mm-hmm. I know that as a journalist, we're sometimes told to be very neutral. I'll say this, my first story pitch with NPR and the Next Gen Radio internship was a story that was amazing. It was called Technology and the Turnout Process, and it was about how young people are being violated in many ways and how their lives are being affected by getting access to people, places, and things through the technology. And it was a wonderful pitch. I had sold it to the newsroom, and right at the end, I did what most journalists are not supposed to do. I mentioned the fact that the story was about my sister. And I had to convince the whole, you know, newsroom that although I was going against what the normal journalistic ethics are, the story was so darn good and everything was covered in a way that it was respectable around across the board, that when it came down to finding out it was actually about a relative who survived a lifestyle of 10 years of prostitution,
wow.
the core and the matter was more important than me maybe taking a risk. And so when I say things like mainstream media may not be covering it enough, I say that because that's how the community feels. So I'm in this neutral place also where as an activist, I'm directly plugged into community members and what they feel and what they think. But then I also have one foot in the door and being a journalist. So it's a nice place to temper and have that ability to do that. I'm always about building relationships, but I'm also about standing in truth and authenticity no matter what the conversation or the environment is.
Folks, it's joining with talking with Maliana Souza, an independent journalist and a motivational speaker out of Sacramento. Let's pivot a little bit, Mariana, and talk about what citizens can do with their phones, with what they have in their pocket. Most people have a phone. They have a voice recorder. They can take pictures, take video, take audio. What would you recommend they do if they're seeing something that they would really like to get out into public space and to gather some awareness around a specific incident or a specific issue within our communities?
Well, one thing I would say is the first internship that I attended was the Maynard Institute, Sacramento Voices. And if anyone knows anything about journalism, Robert Maynard was one of the first African Americans to get media into the hands of everyday community members, understanding that as an African-American man breaking those boundaries, he wanted to show that we're all journalists to a certain degree. We're all community correspondents to a certain degree. And now with the technology, I would advise anyone, if you see action, if you see activity, use your technology as a platform and understand that whether you're an independent journalist and you know how to get it out there correctly, you can put it in the hands of another person who really values the content and the story and can help tell it, like myself. So if anyone is out there calling me or looking for me, here's a journalist right here. I'm interested in your story, and if it's important and we can come together in community, I'm here.
How do we get a hold of you then? Gosh, it's almost a pitch.
I know, right? It's all about networking and maximizing opportunities.
I love it.
You know, in activism and in community work, they don't give you a lot of time to talk, so you got to pack a punch, man.
You do.
But it's really simple. My name is Miss Mariana, so anyone can contact me at bookmissmariana@gmail.com. bookmissmariana@gmail.com.
Maybe before I ask for a closing comment, just give us a few minutes around trying to dispel this crazy stereotype that homeless youth are out there just because they like it, you know, having marshmallows and peanuts by the campfire.
Yes. Well, the thing that's really interesting about observing the different populations within unhomed culture, in home communities, unhomed communities, is that they all have different needs. So when you're talking about a veteran versus youth who are unhomed versus people with disabilities, they may fall under one or more, but their needs are different. So when we're looking at youth, specifically like SAC Safe Space and that transitional youth that we're talking about, me being an activist in the community, what I'm seeing is a lot of these kids aren't choosing this, and not all of them are just rebellious. Some of them are coming from environments that holistically are unhealthy, and they're completely in survival mode. And by the time they're 16, 17, 18, when ideally they're supposed to have a certain level of personal development, they have not gotten that. So what I'm seeing is a lot of young people who are leaving dysfunctional homes, not being served in their home, school, community, workplace, you know, accurately or at least holistically enough for them to survive and thrive in a healthy way. They're in survival mode. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter whether you're abused and you're 5, 6, 7, 14, 44 or 76. When you're fleeing from an unhealthy environment and you're trying to survive, you're going to wherever you can go and to get as far away from harm as possible. And so that's what I see happening with a lot of youth. I don't think they're all just out there not wanting to listen to rules. I don't think they're all just out there not wanting to abide by the expectations that maybe their family members or society has. I think half of it is society and family is not as fulfilling as they need it to be. We don't have even home ec in high school anymore. So the average high school student can get a debit card without understanding how to balance account. You know, the average teenager can get access to, you know, drugs and sex and all these different things, but let's be quite frank, that's not a part of our educational system. So they're given access to adult lifestyles without the means to actually be able to support that. So combining that along with maybe lacking home environments, they're just totally on survival mode. So it's our job as community members to step up and not only give them items and goods like foods and tents and clothes, but also give their time, give some mentoring. Like one sister said when I was covering the story, you know, take them to get ice cream.
Yeah,
take them to the movie. You know, so of course, with safety in mind, of course, being fully aware of your environment and who you're dealing with and trying to, you know, go through the appropriate measures, but understanding that it's more than just dropping off water. If that's all you can do, cool, because money counts, goods count. But they need time and development to get beyond just surviving the next night and actually getting to a rehabilitating mode where they're refreshing themselves mentally, physically, and emotionally.
Well, Mariana Souza, that was just beautiful. I'm going to put that in the can for sure, because that was just a wonderful, wonderful way to describe that. Any closing comments for our listeners here at KZFR on any point one FM?
You know, G, I just appreciate you giving me the time and energy as an independent journalist who is now stepping out into the world. It's about building confidence and running with it when you know you've got it. And this torch is blazing in my hand. I'm surrounded by community members who support me, and I just really appreciate it. And I'd just like to say, anybody else out there ready for an interview? I'm here, and I'm ready.
You sure are. And you know what I like? No one's ever given me a nickname, Mariana. I'm now G. I like it.
You're the big G.
My kids used to call me Big D first, so I'll let them know. I'll get a kick out of that. All right, Mariana.
Well, I'll be your new daughter in media, Big G.
All right. All the best to you. Yeah, my master, on behalf of Without a Roof Radio program, thank you for listening. Look us up. Google Without Space A Space Roof. We come right to the top. And tip jars. Go on out to KZFR. You like what you hear, and I know you do. Help support this wonderful community asset here at KZFR 90.1 FM. And until next week, always remember, if you have a roof, be grateful.